This is Seven Mountain Business Radio. Each week, local experts discuss how the Bible is filled with sound business advice. Learn how to build effective systems, marketing, real estate mastery, and more. Now, here is your host, Karen Conrad.
Good morning and welcome to Kingdom Business Radio. This is Karen Conrad, and I'm so glad that you joined me today. Boy, I tell you, it's an exciting time. Actually, what is going on in the nation, the opportunities, the economy. My goodness, there is there's a lot of buzz going on, isn't there? There seems to be a lot of, passion with people, and sometimes that brings out the worst in people. And then eventually, I do believe that we will see things that will come out for the best, and we'll see unity in this nation. And, you know, when we look at business and we look at the economy, there are so many amazing indicators as to what's happening with the economy. But I was spending some time with Jay Garvin's on Sunday, and he was explaining something to me that sometimes in an economy that is actually recovering or is booming, it can become some of the most competitive times. Or he was even describing in the mortgage industry that it's a compression. There can be a compression because there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of healthy things happening in the economy. And I thought about that, and that was just such wisdom that he was sharing. And I just realized, like, you know, we really have to stay on top of our game no matter what is happening with the economy. And then actually right after this program, I'm going to be doing a teaching at Cares Bible College on Marketing 101, but a week ago, I was teaching on the Blue Ocean Strategy. And the whole idea behind the Blue Ocean Strategy is to find that place in the market, that idea, that it's almost an innovation, you might want to say, that literally makes your competition irrelevant. So I think that this is a time, while things are going well, that we need to dig in deep, and we need to make sure, first of all, that we are fulfilling our God-given vision in our business, because that's going to be our absolute foundation for success. We have to sharpen our pencil with stewardship and just make sure that, we are still managing things in a proper way, even when we're in a time of boom in our business. And then I think we need to really stay with the systems and work on systems that are going to carry us through the times, through the decades, long term. And so when we're looking at the discussion of the vision to reality and the steps to make that happen, I'm more convinced than ever that if you have a plan and you stay with that plan, that you will see success. Also, I think that it's a time where we have to go back and look at our vision and make sure that we measure what our activities are, what we're spending time on, what we're spending money on, to make sure that we have aligned things up with our vision. Do you know, we had the ministers' conference last week up at Andrew Womack Ministries, and there's a pastor there from Sri Lanka that gave it was an amazing session. And he was sharing from a pastor's perspective some things with his church. He actually has a church of 6,000 in Sri Lanka, which is amazing. That's a big church, and that's a big organization. But there are some things that he was sharing with us, that lessons that he had learned, you might want to say, the hard way. And there's a couple of them that really stood out to me, and I think it correlates to where we are right now with the economy. I can tell you in real estate that in Colorado Springs, things are getting tighter, things are slowing down. And so it's kind of a good time for us to kind of regroup and just look at what we've got ahead of us and make sure that we are doing things that carry us into the future and that we're prepared long term. So one of the things that he was sharing is they had run into a situation where the organization's cash got really tight. He sort of ran into a financial challenge in his organization. And he had never faced that before. When you think about it, he was in a time of growth. They had gone from literally 0 to 6,000 attendees every week. And during that time, when things are going well, sometimes we've got the cash, or we, you know, we're so excited about how things are going, we can end up spending money on things, or we can end up with initiatives that don't line up with our vision. So one of the things that he learned, this was a critical time, and he was just like, God, what is going on? What is happening here? And he felt that the Lord was showing him to pull out his vision, and review it, and then take a look at where he was spending money, where the organization was spending money, and compare that and align that with the vision. And that's a lot of what we've been talking about the last few weeks, is that everything needs to be measured through that vision. But what was really interesting about this is he said he had to make some difficult decisions. And, you know, there are times as leaders and as entrepreneurs that we have to make some difficult decisions to make sure that we fulfill the God-given purpose and vision for us personally and for the business, but also to maintain the long-term health of the organization for the future of that organization and the families that are involved in part of that organization and the customers. Because remember, when we're in business for the kingdom, we are always here to bless people. We want our businesses to bless people. So he went through and he looked at all the various things that they were spending money on, and he said he had to make some tough decisions. He had to make decisions to stop doing some things. And sometimes with, you know, either ourselves as leaders in an organization, or we might have other leaders in our organization, it's really easy to start to move forward in areas that are something that we're interested in personally, or maybe our employees are interested in personally. And especially during good times and strong times, I think that that becomes more of a problem or a temptation than it does in lean times. Because in lean times, we're very careful about how we're spending money. We're careful about how our time is. But when things are going well, sometimes things can get a little loose in the organization. So we might say, how do we solve that? How do we make sure that we don't get into that position? And I will tell you the key is to make sure you measure, no matter what state the business is in, no matter what state the economy is in, measure your activities and your initiatives, or you might even say your projects, measure those against the vision of the organization. If you include that in your day-to-day planning, in your weekly meetings, if you do something that's called, it's called a scope document, that scopes out what the projects are and how much it's going to cost, and you have a formal way to actually bring that together and discuss it, you will be able to keep your organization on track little bits at a time, instead of hitting a crisis where now you have to go back and you have to dig in deep and you have to make major changes. So one of the ways that we can accomplish that is exactly what we have been talking about, creating a system that when you start with that vision that you want to bring to reality, you can take this system and apply it not only in the areas that are maybe a major organizational area, maybe, you know, like with starting a business, but you can actually apply this system with small things, with things that are projects, with things that are ideas, and you can run them up the pipe of the organization in an organized way and build parameters and put architecture around that process to ensure that you are staying on track with that vision. And then, again, you'll be able to avoid some of those pitfalls. So as we go through this process, and we're going to finish up this process today, we have 9 steps that helps you bring that vision to reality. And I'll just review those in case it's the first time that you've been listening. I want to welcome you. We're glad that you joined us today. And also I want to thank those that have been listening faithfully every week. I've been hearing from a few of you, and I really appreciate the feedback. I hope it's been a blessing for you. So step one, and we've talked about what's your vision. And if you miss these programs, just go back to KRDO, go to their website and click on Podbean, and you're going to be able to locate these and kind of go back from start to finish. Also, I just want to mention really quickly here that I have downloads, free downloads, about a lot of the things that we discuss on this program. and what I talk about in my program on Gospel Truth TV, which is Living with Karen Conrad. And so you can go to karenconrad.net and you can look for the downloads in the store, many free downloads there. If you want a video series, a more comprehensive series on this, I also have a DVD and CD product on that website that is called Vision to Reality. So our first step was, what's your vision? So you can go back and listen to that. And then the importance of a plan. Step three is, have you done a SWOT? Step four is completing a business model canvas. If I could just pause here, this business model canvas is something that Paul Milligan and Billy Epperhart brought to the business school at Caris Bible College. And this is the most amazing tool to really define and refine your business. So it goes over cost structure. It goes over your customer segments. It puts you in a position. We talked at length about this in one of the programs with your value proposition statement, which is really important. That's your internal communication, so everybody knows what you're trying to achieve. And I think the most important part, of course, I'm kind of a revenue person, being a marketing director, is to recognize and develop your revenue streams. And so it's really important in a business that you have more than one revenue stream, and in your household as well. If you just have one revenue stream, for example, and it is a W-2 income, if something happens with that job, you know, your family is going to be in a crunch situation. Of course, we have to save in for those things. But when we have multiple revenue streams, either in our household, our family, or in our business, when there is an area that maybe isn't as strong in the economy or maybe in the market, we are able to weather that, and we are able to kind of leverage or hedge the ups and downs in the market. So that's all covered in the business model canvas. And then we have got setting benchmarks. We talked about that at length. That's really important. Every step here is important. Establishing strategies is step six. And then step seven is strategic action plans. And that's where we're going to pick up today. Okay, so this is where you really start to dig into the activities that are going to create the results that you are looking for. So it's one thing to have a vision. You need to have a vision, absolutely. It's another thing to set your benchmark so you know exactly where it is that you're trying to go. And then the strategies is the way that we approach business and we define that. The strategic action plans is where you start to dig in and you define how it is that you are going to accomplish the strategies and the to achieve the benchmarks. So this is the point in the process that you really need to bring in team members that know the actions and activities that are necessary to achieve certain things in your organization. For example, if I decide that part of my strategy is I'm going to begin to do a weekly email to communicate to my email list, to bring them updates, to give them information, maybe to offer product, you know, partnership or whatever that might be. I can say to my team, okay, you guys, you know, I want to do a weekly email, and I can have absolutely no idea what it takes to pull a weekly email together, okay? And so there are resources involved, and you want to make sure that you have enough resources. There is people's time involved. There might be technology involved. You need graphic work. Who's going to edit my writing? And then there's this little thing that says, Karen, you have to take time and you have to write that email, right? Which for us as entrepreneurs, that can be one of the biggest challenges, is to get ourselves doing the activities necessary. So this is very, very important to lay out the steps. And then also we put behind it a name or a department too, because if I need to have a graphic to be able to get an email out, and I know I'm using a really simple example here, but if I need to have a graphic to do that, I don't have time to do that, right? So I have to actually assign that task to someone, and then I have to put a date on it to get it completed. So you kind of work backwards. So for example, I'm going to kind of bring this up to, we're just going to have a hypothetical benchmark here. So let's say that I've got a benchmark that says that I want to maybe stage 20 homes next month, and maybe currently I'm staging 10 homes. So one of the things that I might need to do is I need to schedule time to teach at a title company or somewhere that people go to get their continuing education credits, because I know that the leading indicator for me to be able to do more home staging is to connect with real estate agents who are the biggest influencer in the area of home staging, okay? Which all this is actually true. I don't think I have the capacity to do 20 homes next month, but if I did, I would probably approach it this way. Okay, so that would be one of the strategic action in the strategic action plan under that benchmark to stage 20 homes next month or each month. So then we would say, it sounds good to me. Get me hooked up at a title company and I'll show up and teach. Okay, so then in my mind, I'm done. Great, I know what to do. However, there's a lot of pieces and parts in there that someone needs to think through, or I am never going to get to that title company, right? So if we break something like that down, and we say, okay, that's going to be the plan. I want to stage 20 homes. So I would look at that and say, okay, for me to stage 20 homes next month, I need to teach in two classes. I need to teach two continuing education classes on the basic home staging 101. So then to make that happen, I am going to have somebody contact title companies and education places where real estate agents go to receive their continuing education credits, right? So that has to be documented, and I have to assign that to someone to get those contacts. And so for me to be able to get into two places, I'm going to say I'm probably going to need to make five phone calls. Because usually when I call places and they hear about this, really everybody loves to go to this class. So it's not a hard sell, but it's going to be something more that I need to get the timing and be able to give them lead time for me to go in and teach. So I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to assign this. Let's say I'm going to assign this to Kelly on my team. So Kelly, I'm going to put your name down that you're going to call five title companies or places that have education, and I'll help you with what those are. And your goal in this activity is I need you to schedule me two times this month to teach. Okay? So that would be one action plan or part of the action plan. So what's another activity? I have to make sure that I've got my PowerPoint and I've got my handouts all ready to go. And so I'm going to need to assign that. I'm going to say, you know, I don't know, just make up a name. Let's say I ask Levi to do that. So Levi, what I need you to do is I need you to go through my PowerPoint. I need you to tweak it. I need you to make it relevant, update some of the businesses that I'm in, make sure that it's an updated picture, and then make sure that we include the company at some point that we are actually there teaching with. Get that in the PowerPoint so people feel that it's something that is personal to them. Then the next thing, and I can tell you I lived this, the next thing is I have to have someone there with me, okay? And I have to have my product all packaged and ready to go. So I did not do a good job with this last time. I went by myself, and I'll tell you, I could not handle things well as far as my product, getting people signed up on my mailing list, and I learned a hard lesson. When I had Levi go with me to the class, he had everybody signed up on my mailing list to get updates. I completely sold out of my product, okay, and people, I think, felt much more taken care of. When I went there alone, I taught. I had product there, but I didn't have time to go over and visit with people, and the results were very, very different. So you get the idea. So I would want to list that down. You know, by this date, I need to have my package all in bags, and so what that's going to mean is that, Tamara, you've got to go to Hobby Lobby and you've got to pick up my bags. Then you've got to print out my branding. You've got to glue it on those bags. We got to make sure, oh, by the way, do I have enough books? And if I don't, then we need to order the books. So you see that even with something as simple as going in to teach, which is my major strategy to hit my benchmark of staging 20 homes, I have to have several steps that are laid out to make sure that I am prepared and I maximize that time, right? So that gives you a really, really good idea as to how we can approach our strategic action plan. Now, let me give you a little bit more information on that. First of all, your strategic action plan is going to lead to project teams. Now, if you're a really small organization, you may not be at that point where you'll have project teams. But as you grow, you are going to need someone to lead these projects for you so that you can lead your organization. The next one is it's how you take strategies and you convert them to practical implementation. So let's talk a moment about how this leads to project teams. You are absolutely going to need project teams to achieve large projects successfully. And one of the keys that I learned, first of all, in banking, and I brought it to the organization when I was focusing on a lot of the main marketing too, is I would create cross-departmental project teams. Okay, why would I do that? I do that for several reasons, because honestly, sometimes it's easier just to have your own team in a room and just say, look, we're just going to handle this ourselves. But the result with that is not always the best. So for example, if I go through something where I'm reaching out to partners and I am maybe giving people an opportunity to join with the organization in financial partnership with a marketing bent on something, I can get myself in a position that I'm not really understanding what it's like to be on the other end of what people are receiving, okay? And so I'll pull in people from other departments that are not in marketing just so I can kind of get a feed on or an idea of how people think outside of the marketing team. Because generally in marketing, everything's possible. We love our ideas. We're just certain everything is going to work. And we can get a little internally focused. Where if I bring people in, let's just say from production, from IT, from communication services, and I get their input into that project on the front end, I'm going to have a more balanced idea of what is going to, how the tagline or the information or the content is going to be received by the public, because they're seeing it from a different angle. It also helps because there may be things, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, there may be things that I'm not aware of that I could be affecting with the project. You know, if I want to go out there and create a download, I may not have the information that I need on what might be affected through the website with something like that, for example. It's how you take strategies and you convert them to practical implementation. Again, these are strategic action plans. So I just encourage you to brainstorm in your teams on what programs you will implement within your strategies to bring the results you desire. Do you know your team wants to contribute? They absolutely love to contribute. And one of the best things that you can do as a leader and as an entrepreneur is listen to people. Do you know some of the most successful leaders are the best listeners? It's sort of opposite. Sometimes we think that the best leaders are talking all the time and they're leading, and that's true. There's a time for that. But the way that they can come to those conclusions is that they are amazing listeners. So that's what we need to do, is make sure we're listening. And then just understand that for each strategy that you developed, you could have multiple action plans under each strategy. So we are out of time today. Wow, thank you so much for joining me. Again, if you want more information on some of this, and or maybe you want some templates or some handouts, go to my website, KarenConrad.net, and just go in the store and see if there's some things in there that you could download for free that might help you. I really appreciate you listening to the program. I hope this is blessing you. And mostly, I just hope and pray for you that you are full of peace and prosperity, both in your business and in your family. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Kingdom Business Radio.
You've been listening to Seven Mountain Business Radio. Heard every Saturday morning at 6:30 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.